Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Despite our best efforts, sometimes kids go astray, even Christian kids. Anguished parents cry out to God for a solution. And that's exactly what God wants us to do in those tough situations. Today, Coming to Grips with Prodigal Children. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks on the power of praying parents.
Today is my privilege to preach message number 9 in a series entitled Fighting for Your Family, specifically how to pray for your children, and we shall concentrate eventually on praying for prodigals. I don't need to tell you, do I, that there are plenty of prodigal children. All for go stories, but this past week, speaking at a Bible conference, a man sits next to me. His son married this woman. They have children. She's run off to find another lover. So the children now go through the difficulty of divorce. He's a grandparent and has to watch all this happen. A story told 1,000 times. By way of introduction, a couple of questions. Number one, is it always the parent's fault if a child rebels and becomes a prodigal? The answer is sometimes yes, parents contribute to the rebellion of their children, but many times the answer is no. Do you think in the famous prodigal son story that the real fault for the younger son wanting his inheritance and then going into a far country, do you think it was because he didn't have a good father? Of course not. The father represents God. Sin is irrational. Young people and older people too do stupid, hurtful, crazy things. They follow their desires wherever they lead, even with good parenting. So somewhere along the line in this message, I'm going to try to help you as parents to live guilt-free no matter the past. A second question that might be asked very logically is, when kids rebel, the child who was brought up in Sunday school, who went to camp and memorized all the verses and served the Lord during high school and then left the faith during college, were they saved? Are they saved or aren't they? Well, the good scriptural answer is, we don't know. That's the answer. I do believe this, that many kids lose their faith in college not because of the intellectual arguments, but because of the moral issues and the environment. They fall into immorality, and after that, they're looking for justification. And so because they don't know how to handle the guilt and to handle their conscience, and yet they don't see any way out, they write home and say, Mom and Dad, I've left Christianity and I've become an atheist. Some instances, they may be Christians whom God will bring back. In other instances, indeed, they may never have actually saving believed on Jesus. But only God knows. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do today is to turn to a passage of Scripture where we see a mother pleading for her child. A mother pleading for her child. It's the 15th chapter. It's the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15, a remarkable story. It's a story over which some people have stumbled. They said, Jesus here seems rude. He seems so out of character. What's happening here? Well, that's our text today. I'm in Matthew chapter 15, and I'm in verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. His disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away because she's crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and she knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, "Is it not right? It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she agrees, "Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered her, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. What I'd like us to do is to look at the barriers that this woman overcame in soliciting the help of Jesus for her demonized daughter. What a prayer. What a woman. What a mother. Now we may begin and ask the question, well, why was this child demonized? Well, you have to go to Baalbek, as I have been in Lebanon, to understand the religion of the Canaanites. It was a very pagan religion, filled with sexuality and filled with occultism. Those two always go together. And the Bible talks about the sins of the father being visited upon the next generation. And so what you find is that demonic spirits actually move in family lines. And so apparently this child was demonized as a result of that. I can't believe that the child did something to deserve this or to let these demons in. But thankfully, even today when that happens, this power may be broken and the gospel breaks the cycle. But there it is. This woman comes and she is a Canaanite, and Jesus is going to the northern part where Lebanon is today, Tyre and Sidon, where I was back in 1968. And Jesus is there in the area, and she hears about Jesus, that he's able to deliver from demons and that the demons obey his very word. Somehow, news about Jesus travels that far. There's no way that she could leave and visit Jesus and try to find out where he is, but the good news is Jesus comes into her area to make grace available even for her. Now, what I'd like to do is to give you five or six barriers that she overcame in getting help for her child and interceding for her child. Now, obviously, her child was not a prodigal, but her child was in desperate need of a word from Jesus that baby girl, that small girl, would be delivered. Are you ready for the barriers? Barrier number one is she overcame the barrier of her religion. She could have said, "There's no way I'm going to go to a Jew to get help for my child. After all, we Canaanites have our own religion. Can't you just imagine it? There are people today who hide behind their religion for not receiving Christ as Savior. They say because of their culture, because of their religion, I'd be betraying my parents if I were to believe." And so she could have said to herself, not only religiously, but culturally, the Canaanites were despised by many of the Jewish people. They were outcasts. And she could have said, "I'd rather see my child suffer a demon than to go to a Jew to try to find help." Would be something like a Palestinian in the Gaza Strip reaching out to a Jew for help. You just didn't do it with those deep cultural roots. So she overcame her religion, her culture, and then a divided family. Now, I can't say too much about this because we don't know exactly why her husband wasn't there. It's possible that he was just out in the fields. Maybe he had died, whatever. The point was, she was here as a single mother soliciting the help of Jesus. And some of you single mothers, you are in that predicament, aren't you? Your husband may no longer be in the family. Maybe there's been a divorce. Maybe he's died. Maybe he's alive, but very disinterested. And it's up to you. God bless you. Can you imagine in a day when the role of a woman was so diminished? In a male-dominated culture, this woman goes to 13 men who are in the area. There's Jesus and the 12 disciples. And she doesn't care. Her child needs deliverance. Her child needs a word from Jesus. And so that's what's happening here in the text. She overcomes her religion. She overcomes her divided home. And then the silence of Jesus. We just read the text. Your Bibles are open. She comes, and it's amazing to me that she knows who Jesus is. She got some good theology along the line. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he didn't answer her a word. Would you have been put off by that? Those of you who are praying for your children, are you put off by the silence of God? The seemingly indifference of God when your child is out there needing help, needing a word from the Almighty, and that word doesn't come? She knows that the silence of God, and you ought to write this down too, the silence of God is never a sign of the indifference of God. And even here, when Jesus is silent, he is secretly plotting mercy for this child. I happen to think that that's why Jesus went into Tyre and Sidon, is because he knew that there was a woman there who needed him, a child that needed deliverance. People think that Jesus was rude. He seems to be so out of character with the way he reacts in other places. The only answer is that we have to find within the text itself what Jesus was after. And so she overcomes the silence of Jesus. She overcomes the rejection of the disciples. Notice it says, and his disciples said, send her away. Send her away, for she is crying out after us. She's crying out after us. She's a nuisance. She keeps crying out after us. Get rid of her. Now, at that point, if you had been this woman, would you have backed off and said, enough already? If that's the way these Jews are going to treat me, after all the fact that I came and I sought their help, and that's the kind of cold shoulder that I get, send her away, I'm out of here. That doesn't deter her. My friends, this is Pastor Lutzer, and the sermon is based on the Canaanite woman. You remember the story when Jesus was in the realm of Tyre and Sidon, how she came to him, and she was seeking help, and Jesus appeared to be very indifferent. And the point in the message is simply this, that Jesus wanted her to not stop seeking him, even though there were barriers that were placed in her path. What a wonderful way to test her sincerity, her resolve, and her commitment. Don't be put off by the fact that God hasn't answered your prayer for your child yet. Continue to seek him. Don't be discouraged. God is listening and God cares. Now, this message is part of a larger series entitled Fighting for Your Family. It's a series of messages that I preached here, seeking God's wisdom for the transformation of our homes. And I hope that your home is being transformed by God's power.
Today, Erwin Lutzer introduced The Power of Praying Parents, another message in a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, more on one woman's great faith. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.